Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking at 8 o'clock, a crash in Hillsborough creating some huge delays this morning. I'll show you the alternate route that could save you about 15 minutes.
And it looks beautiful at Carolina Beach, but of course, Hurricane Lee is sitting offshore, causing some danger in the surf. I'll show you what it will feel like there and what a beautiful weekend we have in store here.
And police are investigating an apparent murder-suicide. Coming up, we'll tell you why the investigation took them to two different counties.
The nation's auto workers are now on strike. Just ahead, how this could impact you the next time you take your car to the shop.
Plus, the St. Jude's 5K walk run is tomorrow in Raleigh. One of the organizers will join us live to give us a look at what you can expect at this year's walk and how it will help children in the Triangle. And they are going to have beautiful weather for that event or any event that you have planned for this weekend. Starting today, it feels great. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Yeah, any activity you have planned, just go outside and do something because it's going to be beautiful. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner standing by. You have a look at Fayetteville. I saw we did have Carolina Beach, too. A great weekend for that.
It looks beautiful at Carolina Beach, too, doesn't it? But it's going to be dangerous to get in the water this weekend with that storm sitting offshore. Fayetteville's looking gorgeous right now. We're starting to see our temperatures creeping back up in the Triangle at 61. Our dew point's down at 53, so that's a very comfortable amount of moisture in the atmosphere. 64 in Fayetteville, 60 in Goldsboro, 57 South Hill, 60 in Southern Pines. It's going to be a beautiful day. The real impact that we'll see from Hurricane Lee off our coast is just a little bit of wind. And I mean just a little bit. We'll see steady winds at around 10, some gusts to 15. It was a little breezy yesterday afternoon, but that's it. That's all we're going to see around here. And it's just going to be a beautiful day. We have a northerly wind, a dry air mass, 80 degrees for the afternoon high, so get out and enjoy it. The 8 a.m. advisory from Hurricane Lee just came in. No change. Winds at 85 miles per hour, moving north at 16. And it continues to push all the way up toward Nova Scotia for Saturday night into Sunday, making landfall. There may be some tropical storm conditions from Cape Cod all the way up through Maine and, of course, into Canada. Some storm surge possible there. For us, it remains rip current danger along our coast. This is the third day in a row that it's high. It will likely stay high through the weekend. But that's not all. We also have coastal flood advisories in effect along the outer banks, some heavy surf warnings, and the potential for some beach erosion. So it may look beautiful at the coast, but you don't want to get in the water. We'll talk more about a second system developing in the Atlantic coming up. Brian?
It is 8:02, almost 8:03 right now. We're watching some breaking news in Hillsborough with a crash on 85 northbound. This is between Highway 86 and Lawrence Road. You can see that crash appears to be blocking the left lane, so all of that traffic is getting by in the right lane. Big delays, about a 30-minute backup is what we're measuring right now on 85 northbound between the I-40 interchange heading out toward 147. I think that sensor reading may be overdoing it a little bit, but the takeaway message here is that from the I-40 split to beyond the 86 interchange in Hillsborough, you're running into some very heavy delays. Consider using Highway 70 as the better alternate route this morning. Take that down to the Eno community, pick up 85 northbound from there, and you should save between 10 and 15 minutes on that ride into Durham this morning. Once you get to Durham, 85 looks fine heading all the way out toward Butner and Creedmoor. Picking up some of the usual delays, though, on 885 between 147 and the I-40 interchange. On the north side of Raleigh, I'm watching a crash with injuries on Falls of Neuse Road just north of Raven Ridge Road. Seeing some pretty heavy southbound delays this morning coming in from Wake Forest. Unfortunately, southbound Capitol Boulevard also is pretty badly backed up with the usual congestion, so don't consider that as a good alternate route. And in Morrisville, we have that earlier crash at Davis Drive near Lake Grove Boulevard that is north of Morrisville Carpenter Road. Not seeing any big delays with that, but watch out for police activity on the side of the road.
Thanks, Brian. We're following breaking news this morning. Police in two counties are working to piece together an apparent murder-suicide. This all started in Fayetteville, where a woman was found dead in a home last night. A short while later, authorities in Southern Pines found a man dead in a car from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Brett Neese pieces this together for us from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker.
First, we now know the name of that woman who was found dead here in Fayetteville. Police say that 35-year-old Jessica Moore was shot and killed at this home off of Kentire Drive. These are a couple of pictures from the Fayetteville Police Department that they posted on their social media of that shooting scene. That played out around 10 o'clock last night. Then, less than an hour later, this scene played out on US 1 in Southern Pines. The WRAL Breaking News Tracker was there after police found a man who had shot himself. He was pronounced dead at that scene. Fayetteville police later confirmed that that's the man who they believe shot and killed Moore here in Fayetteville. I'm working to learn that man's name as well as what led up to that shooting here in Fayetteville. I'll keep you updated. In Fayetteville, Brittany, WRAL News.
A man is dead after being shot by a Moore County Sheriff's deputy. The sheriff's office says the man came at the deputy with a knife. The shooting happened just before 6:30 last night on Pinewood Drive in West End. The sheriff's office says the man was armed with a knife when the deputy arrived responding to a 911 call. The deputy says he made several commands to get the man to drop the knife, but the man started moving toward the deputy instead. The sheriff's office says the man's mother called 911 saying her son was attacking a neighbor.
More breaking news. The nation's auto workers are now on strike. You're looking live at some of those picketers in suburban Detroit right now. The United Auto Workers Union hit the picket lines at midnight after negotiations for higher wages and job protections fell through.
Everything, my livelihood, my family's well-being, everything's on the line for me. I was raised in the UAW.
The three companies involved in the strike are GM, Ford, and Chrysler-owned Stellantis. It's the first time the UAW has ever struck against all three automakers at the same time. Each offered the union double-digit percent pay hikes, but that was not enough to meet their demands by the deadline. In a statement Friday, GM says it's disappointed, but would continue to bargain in good faith with the union. We could still feel the impact from this strike right here in North Carolina. WRAL's Kelsey Coffey joins us this morning to walk us through some of those impacts. Kelsey.
Renee, good morning. Now, if you're looking to buy a new car or just get the one that you have fixed, this strike could impact you. NC State supply chain expert Robert Hanfield says higher car prices are one of the immediate impacts we'll experience from this strike. This could also impact car parts. If you own a Jeep, Chevy, GMC, or Ford, the next time you get your car serviced, some of the part shipments could be delayed. The last time something like this happened was back in 2019 when workers went on a month-long strike against General Motors. The longer these workers stay on strike, the higher prices could become.
If it starts to go into, 3 to 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, they're going to start eating into their inventory. And then we're going to see prices go up dramatically, especially for used vehicles.
And there's also a concern here that this strike could have a domino effect on other industries. So some of those industries include the freight industry, steel and aluminum foundries, and car dealerships. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News, live in Raleigh.
A triangle tradition is canceled this year. This morning, Raleigh city leaders are standing by their decision to cancel the highly anticipated Christmas parade. Raleigh leaders deny the permit for this year's event, and they announced the move yesterday, saying it's out of an abundance of caution for parade participants and spectators. Officials also say their decision to not hold the big event is also out of respect for Haley Brooks' family. The 11-year-old girl was in the parade last year when she was hit and killed by an out-of-control pickup truck. Haley Brooks' family and some business owners say canceling a well-loved tradition was not the best decision.
Every time there's a huge event downtown or even super close like Dix Park, we get a lot of visitors from really all over the place. It's not just nearby, so it's always great to have something to like draw people into downtown.
And Raleigh city officials say they did not consult with the Brooks family about canceling the decades-long parade. The city says it plans to announce other holiday events and find ways to incorporate local business.
A judge says there is probable cause that James Dunmore murdered his girlfriend, Alicia Watts, of Moore County. This was Dunmore, shackled and wearing a bulletproof vest, as he was led into the Montgomery County Courthouse yesterday. Seven different witnesses testified at his hearing. We learned Dunmore overdosed on blood pressure medication back in July when he tried to kill himself. Moore County investigators also said they used GPS data from phones and Watts' car to find her body. The medical examiner says the preliminary cause of death is strangulation. Dunmore's wife who separated from him this year, gave emotional testimony. She said she took out a restraining order in May when he threatened to kill her. The Wake County school system is investigating why hundreds of employees received their paychecks late this month. Some employees who are paid by mail say they waited more than a week after payday to get their check. A spokeswoman tells WREL most mail paychecks were eventually delivered. However, many employees had to pick theirs up in person this week in Cary. About 400 employees were affected. Several people reached out to WREL saying they cannot afford to wait this long to be paid. For the first time in U.S. history, the child of a president has been indicted by the Justice Department. The charges Hunter Biden now faces and the jail time he could face.
Plus, the St. Jude 5K run walk is tomorrow morning. An advisor from the hospital will join us live with how the event will help kids here in the Triangle.
We've got beautiful weather for outdoor events coming up for the weekend until we get to late on Sunday. That's our next best chance of rain, and there could be some severe storms. I'll show you who would be at risk coming up.
Welcome back on your sunny, beautiful Friday morning. You're looking live at Raleigh. You're watching WREL News, available on Hulu and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device. Well, it is beautiful out there now. It's going to stay beautiful. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner standing by. So much going on this weekend, and it's really the perfect weekend for it.
Well, you remember last Saturday, you know, we had thunderstorms in the morning, which we hardly ever have. They had to evacuate Carter-Finley Stadium. So I think we deserve to have this gorgeous Saturday that we have in our forecast. And today, too, looking so pretty. Goldsboro looking great. Apex, there's Durham, of course, the DBAP. The Durham Bulls have their last homestand of the regular season. And Chapel Hill looks beautiful there from Top of the Hill Restaurant. Of course, we do have a hurricane sitting off our coast, but it's moving pretty quickly away from us. It was a little breezy last night. We may see some gusts up to 15 miles per hour today, which is really minimal. The coastal impacts will be greater. It's not going to be a great weekend to get in the water. And then here, our next big impact will be a system that comes in on Sunday. Most of Sunday will be dry, but late afternoon into the evening, we'll have some showers and thunderstorms that move through. They'll be out by Monday morning. It's just going to be a line that is in and out, and then we're looking at some mild temperatures to go along with it. So let's jump ahead to Sunday. We may see some clouds in the morning on Sunday, and then partly cloudy skies through the afternoon. Then you can watch that band developing back to our west. This is our high-resolution model. It gives us a much better idea of where the rain will be and the timing of it, but at this point for Sunday, it only goes out to 2 o'clock. So I'm checking in at noon. We'll have it all the way up through 8 p.m. and be able to time it out. But pretty much we're going to see this starting around 3 or 4 o'clock in our western counties and continuing through probably 6 or 8 o'clock in our eastern counties. Level one, severe threat from parts of Edgecombe County down through Wilson County, parts of Moore County, and down through, say, Goldsboro toward Fayetteville. That's where we'd have the best chance of seeing some wind damage. But that should be pretty isolated. Home games for the Bulls looking great tonight, 77 degrees at 6:30. Saturday, 6:30, 82 degrees. And Sunday is a 1 o'clock game, so that's earlier than normal. It looks like those storms probably don't arrive in Durham until 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So it should be that game gets finished before the rain comes, hopefully. St. Jude walk run, gosh, perfect weather for that tomorrow. 62 at 9 a.m., 10 a.m., 70, 75 at 11 a.m. We've got an interview with one of the organizers coming up in just a couple of minutes to talk more about at that walk run. We're a proud community partner of that event. Bugfest, so much fun too. As a matter of fact, Michelle's about to head down there for the critter cook-off, and so I can't wait to see how she likes that. Mountain forecast for tomorrow looking good. Highs in the 70s. Sunday looks wet in the mountains. It may rain for most of the day. Beaches look gorgeous over the weekend. 80 to 81 degrees for highs. But of course, we'll have some rip current danger along the coast as we follow Hurricane Lee up toward Canada. There may be some impacts along the coast of the northeast. It's likely to make landfall on Saturday night into Sunday. And you can see the blue shaded area. That's where we have a tropical storm warning from Cape Cod northward. Also, a storm surge potentially from Long Island all the way up through Maine, up to 3 feet of storm surge there. Here, it's a rip current danger all the way through the weekend, a high surf advisory and a coastal flood advisory as well, especially for the Outer Banks. That's not the only system out there. Margo will dissipate But this next one could get the name Nigel and potentially start to affect Bermuda, likely to head northwest and then make that turn and stay out in the Atlantic. But we have a whole week to watch that. That is definitely not the final word. So keep checking back. Once we get past Sunday's rain around here, it looks nice for next week. Just a little warm and slightly sticky, Brian.
Elizabeth here at 817. We're still watching this crash on 85 northbound in Hillsboro. This is the camera at Lawrence Road looking back toward Highway 86. And you can see that left lane remains blocked. All of that traffic leaving Hillsboro, heading toward Durham, getting by in that right lane. Now seeing a delay of about 27 minutes. So that's 27 additional minutes to make that trip from I-40 out to 147, leaving Hillsboro, heading to Durham. As we take a look at that area on the sensors, you can see those heavy delays on 85. Consider using 70 as a good alternate route. You can take that out to the Eno community and pick up 85 from there. That should save you about 15 minutes this morning. Taking a look around the rest of the triangle, getting reports of a crash on the inbound side of Wade Avenue there at the 440 interchange. Seeing a little bit of a delay heading from Blue Ridge Road back toward 440. Also on the north side of Raleigh, we still have that crash at Falls of Neuse Road at Raven Ridge Road, or just north of Raven Ridge Road. And we're still seeing some very heavy southbound delays coming in from Wake Forest this morning. If you're able to pick it up from Raven Ridge, southbound Falls of Neuse looks good from there all the way down to 540.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Well, this weekend, there's an exciting opportunity to raise money to find a cure for childhood cancer. Saturday is the St. Jude 5K Run Walk, and you still have time to sign up. And joining us to talk about the event is Taylor Voisin with St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Taylor, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you. Good morning.
Good
We're so
morning.
Excited.
Yeah, I mean, this is such an amazing event. Tell us about the walk run and why it's so important to the community. St. Jude is such an incredible organization.
Yes, this walk is incredible. We're so excited to be in the community. Grab your friends, grab your family, and join the community supporting St. Jude, including WRAL. September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, so this is a great opportunity to learn more about St. Jude, get together with friends, get fit, and support the life-saving mission of St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, which is finding cures and saving children.
And I'm sure there are so many, but what are some of the ways that St. Jude is making an impact on people that are living in the Triangle?
Absolutely. When St. Jude opened in 1962, childhood cancer was considered almost incurable. Since then, St. Jude has helped move the overall childhood cancer survival rate from 20% to over 80% today, because we believe that no child should die in the dawn of life, and we won't stop until that happens. So that benefits patients and families everywhere, but St. Jude also freely shares their research. So all discoveries made at St. Jude are shared across the country, here in our local community, and across the globe.
That's amazing. And you're going to have some beautiful weather this weekend. The St. Jude Walk Run will take place tomorrow on Saturday. What can people expect from the event this year? Is there anything different you guys are doing?
I think it's a unique opportunity where we are bringing St. Jude to the Triangle. So you'll experience different facets of the hospital and interactive activities, fun for all ages. And so you'll really be to see St. Jude brought to life on Saturday.
Amazing. And people might be asking at home, how can I get involved? Where can I go to sign up?
Absolutely. Registration is free for this event. So come one, come all. You can find us at stjude.org/walktriangle or just show up. We're going to be at the North Carolina Highway State Test Track at 380 East Tryon Road in South Raleigh. So come join us. We open at 8:30, opening ceremonies at 9:30, and we kick off our race at 10 a.m.
And for people that might not be able to make it to the race, is there another way that they can donate to St. Jude?
Yes, you can visit our website to donate, but we also have a virtual option to get involved. So go to our website and learn how you can download the St. Jude Walk Run app and walk with a day and time and a place that works best for you. And you can still get that interactive experience with St. Jude.
Oh, well, Taylor, we wish you so much success this weekend. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And WREL is a proud community partner of the St. Jude Walk Run. It takes place tomorrow morning at the NC Highway Test Track on East Tryon Avenue in Raleigh. Registration opens at 8:30 and the run walk starts at 10.
Really glad the weather will be ideal for such an important event. President Joe Biden's son, Hunter, has now been indicted on federal gun charges. This is the first time in U.S. history the Justice Department has charged a child of a sitting president. The charges relate to a gun Hunter Biden purchased back in 2018, including possessing a firearm while using a narcotic. Court filings show a summons was issued for Hunter to appear in court. However, it's unclear when and where that initial appearance will take place. If convicted, Hunter Biden faces up to 25 years in prison. We're getting our first look at Aaron Rodgers after his devastating injury. Rodgers shared this photo to his Instagram story last night, saying he is already on the road to recovery. He had surgery Wednesday for his torn Achilles tendon. He suffered the injury just 4 plays into his much-anticipated debut with the New York Jets. It's week 5 of the high school football season. You can catch High School OT live tonight at 7 in the High School OT app and wherever you stream WRL TV. Then it's Football Friday. Chris Lee and the Gang will have the most area highlights at 11:35 p.m. on WRAL. For the first time since he was convicted of killing his son and wife, Alec Murdoch was in court yesterday. Coming up, why the former South Carolina attorney now faces more than 100 state and federal charges.
Plus, police are investigating an apparent murder-suicide. What we know about the investigation and why it spans 2 different counties.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good Friday morning. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. Brian Schrader's tracking some big backups on I-85, Brian.
On 85 northbound in Hillsboro, a crash between Highway 86 and the Lawrence Road Bridge. You can see we still have that left lane blocked. So all of that traffic getting by in that right lane, a 30-minute backup showing up right now on 85 northbound from I-40 in Hillsboro out to the 147 interchange in Durham. Better alternate route for you this morning is going to be using Highway 70. Take that on out toward the Eno community and pick up 85. However, you can see that red showing up there on that eastbound side. A lot of people are using that as an alternate route. Also on the north side of Raleigh, watch for a crash on Falls of Neuse Road near Raven Ridge Road. Seeing some heavy delays coming in from Wake Forest this morning, Elizabeth.
It looks beautiful out there, of course. We've seen some of the coolest temperatures in a while this morning. 62 right now in Wilson, 61 in Durham, 64 in Fayetteville. The whirligigs are spinning around. Of course, we do have the hurricane sitting off the coast of North Carolina. The only impacts here, a little bit breezy. We could see some gusts up to 15 miles per hour. A little cool heading out the door, but lots of sunshine. If you're planning outdoor dining today, it couldn't be more perfect. Lunchtime temperatures will be in the mid-70s. This evening, also mid-70s. Looking beautiful for outdoor plans through Saturday, but a chance of some rain late Sunday.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. Police in 2 counties are working to piece together an apparent murder-suicide. It started in Fayetteville, where a woman, Jessica Moore, was found dead in a home last night. A short while later, police in Southern Pines found a man who had shot himself. He was pronounced dead at the scene, and police believe he shot Moore. Next on Fox 50, the cooler fall-like temperatures are here. Elizabeth will tell us how long they'll stick around. And then up next on Today, Allie Love shares her fitness rules to keep your health on track.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
It's 8:30 and I'm following breaking news of a crash in Hillsboro, creating some big delays on I-85. I'll show you why the alternate route is not much better.
And that cool fall-like air is with us already. Temperatures in the low to mid-60s in some spots and 50s elsewhere. I'll show you how long the fall feel will stick around.
Police are investigating an apparent murder-suicide. Coming up, we'll tell you why the investigation took them to 2 different counties.
Everything, my livelihood, my family's well-being, everything's on the line for me.
Auto workers are now on the picket lines. We'll tell you how the strike could impact you here in North Carolina, whether you're in the market for a new car or you just need to get yours fixed. Things could take a little while longer.
Thank you so much for joining us on this Friday morning. It feels fabulous out there, not just the temperatures, but also, I mean, the humidity. Yeah. We're saying goodbye to the mugginess. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Yeah, welcome relief. I walked in and I was like, you know what? It's a little chilly and I like this. I'm not mad about it.
Yeah, you need a layer this morning.
You do. Maybe. Yeah, yeah. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner with a look over Fayetteville this morning. Elizabeth, it is just so nice out there.
It's gorgeous out there. This is a live look at Fayetteville, as you said. Nothing but blue sky there. Pleasant temperatures. Fayetteville's been in the low 60s the last hour or so, and we're starting to see temperatures creep up just a bit. In the Triangle, we dropped into the upper 50s briefly. The dew point is in the 50s. It feels wonderful at 53. The dew point is the measure of moisture in the atmosphere. The lower the number is, the better it feels. Right now, it's 64 in Fayetteville, 62 in Rocky Mount, still some 50s up around Roxboro and South Hill, but it'll be pleasant today. We do have Hurricane Lee sitting off the coast of North Carolina. It is headed northward, likely to make landfall around Nova Scotia on Saturday night. The only impacts here would be a little bit of wind, but not much. Steady wind out of the north at 10 miles per hour today with some gusts up to 15. It was a little breezy last night, but we're not looking at much of an effect here at all. Lots of sunshine today with a high of 80 degrees, perfect for spending some time outside. Here's a look at where Hurricane Lee is right now, sitting almost off of Cape Hatteras right now, but several hundred miles, moving north at 16 with 85 mile per hour winds. It will continue to push northward, and again, Saturday night into Sunday, potentially makes landfall as a tropical storm in Nova Scotia, but having some impact from Cape Cod all the way up through Maine and, of course, into the Canadian Maritimes. Our current conditions here show, of course, a high rip current danger for today. We've seen that the last several days. It will last all the way through the weekend, but that's not the only thing that we'll see along our coast. We have the potential for some coastal flooding, especially on the Outer Banks, some erosion and some high surf. I'll show you when that should ease up, but I'll also show you when the next system is likely to develop. Coming up, Brian.
8:33, Elizabeth, and we are following this breaking news in Hillsboro. A crash on 85 northbound between Highway 86 and the Lawrence Road Bridge. You can see where they have the left lane blocked. A tow truck is on the scene, so hopefully this will get cleared pretty quickly, but we are seeing all that traffic leaving Hillsboro heading toward Durham, squeezing by in that right lane. Seeing a delay of between 20 and 30 minutes this morning, and as we take a look at the sensors in that area, we were suggesting 70 as a good alternate route, leaving Hillsboro, heading down toward the Eno community, but you can see the big backups there, now beginning at the 70-70 business intersection, all the way down toward I-85, and I just checked the latest updates from the sensors. It's going to take you longer now to use that alternate route than just sticking with the northbound side of I-85, so just be prepared for a big wait trying to get out of Hillsboro into Durham this morning. If you can pick it up from Highway 86, it won't be quite so bad. Taking a look around Raleigh, our major routes are in fairly good shape. We do have a report of a crash on inbound Wade Avenue at the 440 interchange. Delays now begin all the way back at the I-40 split through Edwards Mill and Blue Ridge Roads. Outbound traffic looks fine, but that inbound trip is a little tricky right now. Looks like they are clearing that crash from Falls of Neuse Road near Raven Ridge Road, though. Still seeing some lingering southbound delays coming in from Wake Forest.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Breaking news this morning. Police in two counties are working to piece together an apparent murder-suicide. This all started in Fayetteville, where a woman was found dead in a home last night. A short while later, authorities in Southern Pines found a man dead in a car from a gunshot wound. Brett Neese pieces all of this together for us from the WRL Breaking News Tracker.
First, we now know the name of that woman who was found dead here in Fayetteville. Police say that 35-year-old Jessica Moore was shot and killed at this home off of Kentire Drive. These are a couple of pictures from the Fayetteville Police Department that they posted on their social media of that shooting scene. That played out around 10 o'clock last night. Then, less than an hour later, this scene played out on US 1 in Southern Pines. The WRL Breaking News Tracker was there after police found a man who had shot himself. He was pronounced dead at that scene. Fayetteville police later confirmed that that's the man who they believe shot and killed Moore here in Fayetteville. I'm working to learn that man's name as well as what led up to that shooting here in Fayetteville. I'll keep you updated. In Fayetteville, Brittany, WRL News.
A man is dead after he was shot by a Moore County Sheriff's deputy. The sheriff's office says the man came at the deputy with a knife. The shooting happened just before 6:30 last night in West End on Pinewood Drive. The sheriff's office says the man was armed with the knife when the deputy arrived, responding to a 911 call. The deputy says he made several commands to get the man to drop the knife, but the man started moving toward the deputy instead. The sheriff's office says the man's mother called 911, saying her son was attacking a neighbor.
Sheriff's office 23, the caller arrives. He's now hurting the other person there, possibly with a knife.
The Moore County Sheriff's Office and SBI are working together to piece together what happened.
Breaking news, the nation's auto workers are now on strike. The United Auto Workers Union hit the picket lines at midnight after negotiations for higher wages and job protections fell through.
We deserve, you know, we deserve our raise. We deserve our, I think everybody out here does. We come to work every day, we work hard, we make sure quality is right.
The three companies involved in the strike are GM, Ford, and Stellantis. Each offered the union double-digit percent pay hikes, but that was not enough to meet their demands by the deadline. And you could feel the effects of the strike the next time your car needs to go into the shop or you need to buy a new one. WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains the wide-ranging impact.
If you're looking to buy a new car or get the one that you have right now fixed, this strike could impact you. NC State supply chain expert Robert Hanfield says one of the most immediate impacts we'll see from this strike are higher car prices. The longer these workers stay on strike, the higher prices could become. And if you own a Jeep, Chevy, GMC, or Ford, the next time you get your car serviced, some of the part shipments could be delayed. The last time something like this happened was back in 2019 when workers went on a month-long strike against General Motors. Hanfield says it's possible this strike could last two or three times longer than that.
That would be really destructive. And that could draw, you know, drive, you know, a 10 to 15% drop in economic output.
What makes this strike such a big problem is that it could have a potential domino effect on other industries. This will impact industries like the freight industry, steel and aluminum foundries, and car dealerships. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News. In Raleigh.
And happening now in the WRL Live Center, the recovery process in parts of Morocco underway this morning. This is new video into our newsroom of some of those devastated regions. This area in particular, entire houses were reduced to rubble while others were partially destroyed when that earthquake hit about a week ago. Hundreds of families have been displaced and are now living in tents in the center of that town. Of course, for a while there, a lot of people in this region were concerned about aftershocks. The death toll for, after the 6.8 magnitude earthquake now stands at more than 2,900. Of course, that earthquake injured several thousand people. This is a developing story that we'll continue to monitor here in the WRL Live Center.
Ken, thanks. The Raleigh Christmas Parade won't happen this year. This morning, city leaders are standing by their decision to cancel it. Raleigh leaders denied the permit for this year's event. They say it's out of an abundance of caution for parade participants and spectators. Officials also say their decision to not hold the parade is out of respect for Haley Brooks' family. The 11-year-old died at last year's parade when she was hit by an out-of-control truck. Both her family and local business owners, however, say they don't feel this is the right decision. The city says it plans to announce other holiday events and they will find ways to incorporate local businesses.
Vice President Kamala Harris will be in our state today, stopping by North Carolina A&T. And here is her message ahead of the trip.
Hi, Aggies. So I just launched my college tour and I'm traveling to campuses across the nation, including yours.
Vice President Harris is launching her Fight for Our Freedoms tour. She's hoping to mobilize young voters and discuss strengthening our democracy. Governor Cooper will join Harris for the visit. You can look for coverage on air and online.
You could become really, really rich this weekend. Nearly $600 million is up for grabs in tomorrow's Powerball jackpot. Your cash value would be just under $290 million, so still a nice chunk of change. This is the third largest Powerball jackpot this year. You can watch the drawing live on WRL tomorrow night at 11 p.m.
And coming up for us this weekend, it's full of fun events in the Triangle, from a critter cookout to a home show with a reality TV guest. We have your out and about best bets.
Plus, the most expensive piece of Princess Diana's wardrobe just sold, and it is not a fancy ball gown. We'll tell you how much this black sheep sweater sold for.
Plus, we'll take you live out to Lewisburg this morning. Plenty of sunshine and blue skies. The cooler fall weather is here. Elizabeth will give us a look at the temperatures we can expect this weekend.
It's 8:44 and we take a live look at Rocky Mount Mills, looking beautiful here with gorgeous sunshine. We're seeing this all across the viewing area. Our temperature in the triangle is 61 and our dew point 53. The lower this number is, the more comfortable it feels. When the dew point gets into the 70s, it feels especially muggy and sticky. That 53 feels wonderful. It's just going to feel great all day long. Of course, we do still have Hurricane Lee sitting offshore. It's moved past Bermuda and is headed up toward Canada and will continue to move away from us. But we're still looking at a little bit of impact along the coast, especially rip current danger. We're going to take a look at that coming up. For our area, we've had very little impact, and that is starting to diminish now. It was a little breezy yesterday. Today, we'll see a wind north steady at around 10 with some gusts up to 15 miles per hour, which, again, isn't very much. Our temperatures climbing on into the 60s, mostly in the low to mid 60s right now, still holding on to 57 in Roxborough, but feeling great out there. Compared to yesterday, temperatures are running 5 to almost 10 degrees cooler, so it's enough so you can tell the difference. Around 80 this afternoon in Raleigh, 79 in Durham, and 82 in Fayetteville. Normal highs 83, and we'll see mid-80s through the weekend and for much of next week. The humidity is going to climb just a touch. We're looking at a dew point dropping into the 40s this afternoon, but 50s tomorrow, and then low 60s Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. It's not terrible. It may not feel quite as dry as today does. Looking ahead to Sunday, that's going to be when we see our next system. You can see a little bit of cloud cover showing up there in the morning on Sunday, partly cloudy through the afternoon, and then this band of rain starts to approach us mid to late afternoon. If you do have outdoor plans, as long as you've got everything wrapped up by 3 or 4 o'clock, you should be fine. Our severe weather threat is going to be along and east of I-95. So that includes Clinton, Goldsboro, Wilson, Tarboro, and eastward toward the coast. Football Friday today looking fantastic. Our temperatures at game time will be in the mid 70s, dropping into the 60s. A good hefty hoodie will feel good in the stands. And then college football just looks phenomenal. As bad as it was Saturday, it will be just so good on this Saturday. NC State, UNC, Duke, and Fayetteville State all play. Game time temperatures are around low 80s. It's a 6 o'clock start there in Fayetteville, but still temperatures should be in the low 80s. Durham Centerfest Arts Festival, it's going to feel nice on Saturday, a little on the warm side with mid 80s, but lots of sunshine. And then we're dry on Sunday until mid to late afternoon with a high of around 83 degrees. Looking pretty for us, of course, today and tomorrow, but a little warmer as we get into the weekend. Behind Sunday's system, we see our temperatures drop just a touch for Monday, but mostly we'll see highs near normal in the 80s, overnight lows in the upper 50s to low 60s, and quiet weather here. In the tropics, though, we have another system. The next name on the list is Nigel. That could develop anytime in the next day or two, and we'll continue to watch that. Just keep checking back, Brian.
Elizabeth, want to update you about this crash on 85 northbound between 86 and the Lawrence Road Bridge in Hillsborough. Still have that left lane blocked as they work to get this cleared up. Latest update from the sensors, back up to about a 30-minute delay as you head between I-40 out to the 147 interchange. As we take a look at those sensors, readings on 70 eastbound, not getting much better. Still looking at delays beginning there at the 70-70 business intersection, heading down toward the Eno area. Everybody using that as an alternate route this morning, and that's going to take you longer than just getting stuck in the traffic there on 85 northbound. Try to pick it up from 86 and at least cut down on some of that time as you head through Hillsborough out toward Durham. Taking a look around Raleigh right now, still tracking some delays on inbound Wade Avenue. An earlier crash right around 440 appears to have cleared in the past little while, but still looking at some pretty slow traffic between Edwards Mill Road heading out toward Blue Ridge Road.
All right, thanks, Brian. Mikel Harris, the man arrested after Wednesday's lockdown at UNC Chapel Hill, is facing 6 charges after his first court appearance in Orange County. There, 3 are in connection with the UNC lockdown, including possession of a gun on educational property, assault by pointing a gun, and communicating threats. 3 other charges are from a road rage incident that happened earlier this month. And the prosecutor says Harris's actions show a dangerous pattern.
The escalation of dangerous behavior in the very recent several weeks exhibited by the separate offenses that are before you today.
The judge increased Harris's bond, citing the serious nature of the charges. It's now at $50,000. If Harris makes that bond, he'll have to wear an ankle monitor.
Investigators hope a car that was found burned in Cumberland County will help them find a missing man. Dunn Police and the Harnett County Sheriff's Office have been searching on the ground and in the air for Tyrone Taylor. Taylor's family has also been searching. They believe someone is responsible for his disappearance. Dunn Police have yet to label this case as suspicious, but we continue to press them for updates. You can reach out to the Harnett County Sheriff's Office or Dunn Police if you know anything about this.
Now, this morning, we're remembering former U.S. Senator Locke Faircloth, who represented North Carolina. He died on Thursday. Faircloth was elected to Congress after he switched parties to become a Republican. He served one Senate term in the 1990s, but his lengthy political career spanned decades before that. He ran a successful Democratic bid for governor back in 1984. Faircloth was 95. Another trial date is set for convicted killer Alec Murdaugh. This time, the former South Carolina attorney is facing more than 100 state and federal financial charges. Murdaugh is accused of stealing $8.8 million, including more than $4 million in insurance payments intended for the family of housekeeper Gloria Satterfield. Satterfield died in 2018 after a trip and fall at the Murdaugh's home. The judge set a trial date for November 27th in the case related to Satterfield.
Parents, if you have a baby sling in your home, we want you to take a look at a picture right here. Not this. Take a look at this image. Federal officials say this carrier could suffocate a baby or the child could fall out. It was sold by Walmart and Amazon online under 8 different brand names. However, the carriers are not labeled with those brand names, so you'll need to check your online purchase history to find out if you have one. Five on Your Side has put this sling product details on WRL.com.
Monthly home prices reach an all-time high, making it even harder to afford a new home. Recent data from mortgage companies Redfin and Freddie Mac show new home prices are out of reach for so many in current market conditions. Redfin says the median monthly mortgage payment hit $2,632 in the 4 weeks ending on September 10th. And Freddie Mac reports 30-year fixed rates are still around 7% for the fourth straight week. Active listings have dropped 17%.
So many fun events happening in the Triangle this weekend, from a bug festival to a downtown arts festival and even a home show.
Yeah, we have your out and about Best Bets. Centerfest Arts Festival is back in the heart of downtown Durham. It is a fine arts festival featuring dozens of artist booths and multiple stages with performers from the Triangle and across the country. Admission is free with a $5 suggested donation at the gate. The festival is tomorrow from 10 to 6 p.m. and Sunday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. WRL is a proud community partner.
Fans of the reality show Southern Charm, listen up. Craig Conover from the show will be at the Fairgrounds Southern Ideal Home Show today at 3 p.m. and tomorrow at 1 p.m. You can hear from local experts on all things home and garden at the Raleigh Fairgrounds. The show hours today and tomorrow are 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., Sunday 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tickets are $12 for adults and free for children 12 and under.
And Craig's going to be here next hour on Fox 50. We'll talk to him. And the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences is getting ready for its most popular annual event, Bug Fest, is tomorrow. Guests can participate in more than 100 exhibits, crafts, games, and activities. And this year, Bug Fest is spotlighting spiders. One of the big highlights is all of the bug recipes that you can try. You can join the museum for a special preview at the Critter Cook-Off today from 11 a.m. until noon. I am going to be a judge on that panel. I anticipate eating a lot of spiders, Renee.
Michelle, you've got this. We applaud you for being brave and adventurous enough to do this. How you feeling?
You know, my palms are a little sweaty. I haven't eaten much this morning because I'm getting, you know, getting ready to eat a bunch of bugs. But Chris Lovingood did it last year. Mm-hmm. He loved it. So, I mean, it can't be that bad, right?
Well, and these are prepared by chefs. These are really, really good dishes.
Really good food.
You're going to have what? Appetizer, entree, dessert?
Entree and a dessert.
All right. Document the whole experience. We can't wait to hear about it.
I absolutely will. Okay, an iconic fashion statement by Princess Diana went for a huge price. This is the black sheep sweater worn by Diana to one of Prince Charles's polo matches not long after their engagement. Bidding on this black sheep sweater skyrocketed in the last 15 minutes of a two-week auction. It ended up selling for $1.1 million, the most expensive piece of Diana's clothing ever auctioned. We'll be right back.